Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. If you can't find it, there's the text in our bulletin today, all of it. And my encouragement to you is to bring it and find it in your own Bible so that you're able to make marks and take notes in your own Bible. Well, like you, I've been watching the news. I think that's the only thing that's been on for a while, is the news. And every day there's reports, images, stories of devastation and destruction, not just of property, but of lives. It is a time of a lot of questions and searching in this country. And to be honest with you, I'm hopeful. I have hope. I'll give you a couple of reasons why. One of our close friends is a pastor up in the north side of Hiroshima, the west side, a good friend of Pastor Hiroshima named Pastor Kato, Nozomu Kato. And I was speaking with him a few years ago, and he mentioned to me the biggest time of revival that he's seen in Japan was in the 90s when there was the Hanshin earthquake. If you remember, I think it's the early 90s where Kobe had a huge earthquake, lots of destruction. And he said it was at that time where the Christian church experienced an incredible revival. People just flocked to the churches in search of answers, from the questions brought about by the earthquake. So that's one reason I'm hopeful, is I think this is a chance for God to show a greater mercy to this land. And that's one thing I'm hopeful. And just looking back on history, Japan is a country that bounces back. Look at World War II, look at the earthquake. From great tragedies, the people, the spirit of this country is one of incredible resilience. And so I'm hopeful in that sense. And I'm hopeful for one more thing. And this is something that we've all been testifying all day and for so many years. In times like this, where it's dark and it's troublesome, the only place we can go, the only thing we have to stand upon is this word, is the word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will last forever. And so many people are going to look for answers, they're going to search for the truth, and in my hope, in my faith, and my everything rests on the knowledge that they will find what they are looking for if they look to God's word, to this Bible. And that's why I'm hopeful, because I think God will lead them there. God is a merciful, kind God, and he will lead them to this word. Now, my job here today is that if they would come to you, asking you for the truth, for the word, for the answer, you are able to articulate clearly and with conviction what the word is, what the message of God is, what is the central, most important aspect of God's message to them as it relates to all of their life here. And that's my hope for today. We're going to look at Isaiah 53, not just today, but up until Easter. I've got about two or three more sermons left between now and Easter, April 24th or 7th, I can't remember which. And this is 12 verses. I'm not going to go verse by verse. Today we're going to go with an overview of the chapter. This chapter could be preached over and over 1,000 times over. Just doing my own homework on it, I'm still not finished reading all of the stuff I have to read just to study it. So that's how much there is. But I won't keep you that long today. But the main message of the scripture that we have today is the main message of all of this Bible. And that is our only hope at all in this life and the next one to come is found in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. His death is a substitution for our death. His punishment is a substitution for our punishment. And because of what he did, we receive salvation. It's what Martin Luther called the great exchange. His death for my life. His devastation for my hope. His weakness for my strength. That's the message of Isaiah 53, and that's what I'd like to preach on today. As is my custom, I want to read to you the scriptures all the way through, 1 through 12. We don't have much time, but it's worth reading. So you can read with me. Actually, I would like you to read with me. I'd like you to read with me from verses 4 all the way through verse 10, if you will, 4 through 10. I'm going to read verse 1 through 3. Pick up with me at verse 4 all the way through 10, and I'll finish it off from 11 and 12. So here I go. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot. This is speaking of Jesus. And like a root out of dry ground, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. I wish I could preach on that today, but it will be coming soon. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Let's read together. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, although he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. The will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Let me finish. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Many people in this country are looking for answers, and I believe they will find those answers in this book. more specifically in this chapter. This is the answer that is clearly written in this Bible. This is the central theme of Scripture. This is the good news. And in order to find the right answer, you must ask the right questions. I want to just present to you three questions today. One, why did Christ die? Why? Why is it so important that we know Jesus Christ? The question of Islam is this, in this day and age, Muslims don't believe that Jesus Christ died. They say in the Quran that they saw an image of him, but it wasn't him who died, it was somebody else. And so to believe in Christianity is to believe in Jesus Christ who is risen, but that's a mistake according to Islam. Jesus didn't die. And even if he did, it's not that important, like Mahatma Gandhi would say. Mahatma Gandhi would say Jesus is an incredible teacher, a wonderfully religious man like myself, but he died a miserable death. I don't believe in that death at all, so it's not that important. But that's not the reason, but we don't believe that as Christians. That's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is Christ died. And what is the significance of that? Why did Jesus die? And the answer is substitution. This chapter, like no other chapter in all of the Scriptures, makes it so clear why Jesus died. And I just want to stack them one on top of the other for you. I'm going to read them to you without comment and let that just impact you as it is. Verse 4, surely he took up our infirmities. Verse 4, again, he carried our sorrows. Verse 5, he was pierced for our transgressions. Verse 5, again, he was crushed for our iniquities. Verse 5, again, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Verse 5, again, and by his wounds we are healed. Verse 6, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 8, for the transgression of my people he was stricken. In verse 11, he will bear their iniquities. In verse 12, he bore the sin of many. If you are a Christian, and I'm sure most of you are, have you ever asked, what is the essence of Christianity? What is the central belief of being a Christian? This is the answer. This is the heart of our faith. I'll use the words of verse 6. All humans have gone astray. All of us have turned our own way. This is called sin. Turning from God and making ourselves our own master and our own treasure. But God was not willing to leave us in this guilty and condemned condition. He planned from ages past to send a suffering servant, not mainly to model love and to teach us about righteousness. That's not what he was here for. He was here to bear our sin as a substitute for us. Verse 6, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the heart of Christianity. He came to die. He came to die in our place. He came to die for our sins. This is our only hope. The New Testament is all about how this happened and how it affects our lives now and in the ages to come. I want to urge you to pursue the knowledge of these things. I want to urge you to come to church not for what the church offers after this. Let me be honest with you. I look at our church, and the church in Japan and around the world even. A lot of people come to church for one of three reasons. One, it could be entertainment. The church now has come to a point where it's a central place for art and for music. And people come to listen to beautiful gospel music, to join gospel teams, because it's entertaining. Is that my son? Okay. People come to church because what they can enjoy. Another reason people come to church is because it's something to do. If I go to church, I can have a job, I can have a responsibility, I can help be a part of something where I can contribute. It's a new hobby for me, and it occupies my time. And that's not a bad thing, but that's not the thing to come to church. Or a third reason people come to church is for community, and this is a big one here. I'm lonely. I don't want to go home. If I go home, I'm alone. I don't feel comfortable in this group of people that I'm normally with. I don't feel comfortable at home with my family. I need a place where I can connect with people and relate to people. I'll go to church. They're nice. In fact, they want to spend a lot of time being just together for, you know, just to be together. It's important to them. They have a word for it, fellowship. And that's another reason why people come to church. That's a lot of big reason why a lot of people come to this church, for community. And that's not a bad reason. But if that's the main reason you come to church, that's the wrong reason. The main reason is because Jesus died for our sins, because we are guilty before God. And because we are guilty, God has His wrath upon us. We are enemies of God. But God, being full of grace and love, would not allow His wrath to win. And so He sent Jesus Christ to take His wrath upon Himself for our sake. That's the message of the cross. And that is the reason why we make beautiful art. That is the reason why we sing, and we sing well. It's not the best sound in the world, but it's awesome because it's from the heart. And it's more than entertaining. It's beautiful. It's pleasure beyond pleasure. And that's the reason why we have so many things. We're not doing good works because of salvation. We are saved not by good works. We are saved to good works. And we do things and we take on responsibilities because God has been so gracious to us, and we want to be gracious to others. And that's not a hobby, but it's a gift that God gives us. And it's not just a friends for friends' sake, and, oh, you're a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian too. Hey, let's be friends. No. You love Jesus too. I love Jesus too. And even though you're 57 years old, I'm 10 years old, we have something to relate to. And we connect because we worship somebody together. It's a community of worshipers because of what Christ did for us. That's why we come to church. That's the most important thing. I don't want us to lose sight of that as believers. Second question, what happened after Jesus died? Answer, resurrection. First, why did Jesus die? Substitution. What happened after He died? Resurrection. Verse 10, it says that He will see His offspring and prolong His days. That is a direct reference to resurrection. It says He will see His offspring, meaning He will be alive after He dies to see His offspring means those whom He has saved as a result of them believing in Him. That's His offspring. And then it says He will prolong His days. Prolong His days is another poetic way to say He will live forever. It's a way to talk about eternal life. Verse 11, He will see the light of life. In other words, He will see life again after the suffering of His soul, after death. He will justify many and He will bear their iniquities. We've covered that. And in verse 12, He will divide the spoils with the strong. That's the image of a king who has won a great victory. And now that he's won the victory, he gets to receive all of the treasure taken from the enemy and divide them out to his people. And that is Jesus Christ, our King, who has conquered death and Satan, given us the victory by His resurrection. And the spoils that He divides with us, well, number one, eternal life. Number two, His Holy Spirit. Number three, the spiritual gifts. Oh, there's so, I can't even count how many spoils, how many blessings. You know them. You experience them in your life. And that happens because He has risen from the dead. It's because of His resurrection. I don't believe in Jesus because of these things or for these things. I have a new house. I have a wonderful family. But I loved Jesus long before that. I loved Jesus long before I came to Japan with nothing but a suitcase, a couple of suits. And yet He has given me all these things because of His grace and His mercy. But I don't need all those things. I could still worship God with just the one apartment, a one-room apartment, and no ring on my finger, because He's that good to me. We have substitution, resurrection. The third question, what happens after He is risen? The scripture says, satisfaction. Satisfaction. Verse 10, He will see His offspring and prolong His days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in His hand. Excuse me, where am I? Okay, there I am. Verse 11. After the suffering of the soul, He will see the light of life and be satisfied. Let's end on this note. The resurrection of Jesus did not happen for His sake alone. It was for His sake. Okay, yes. We don't have it any other way. Let Him be honored for His great work of salvation on the cross. Christ was raised from the dead for His satisfaction. But what was the Son satisfied with? Verse 11 literally says, He will see it and be satisfied. Excuse me. He will see His offspring. I conclude that part of Jesus' satisfaction is the resurrection. In the resurrection, He's looking out at the great assembly of people from every race, from every tribe and every tongue. We've got a few people in here, but on a good Sunday, it's packed with people. A lot of them Japanese, but man, we've got a lot of Filipinos. We've got a lot of North Americans. We've got some Central Americans. We got them from all, once we've had a few times from Africa, some Europeans. It's just a great mix of heaven. I mean, if you go to any other church, even in North America, we like to divide them up. We've got the black church, the white church, the Asian church, the Hispanic church. And in Japan, you have the Japanese congregation. But in the English service, we've got them from everywhere. And they're married to each other. And they're just doing all, it's just, I've been to churches, man, we're worshiping, it's kind of chaotic, but it's still kind of cool. The Japanese are sitting together, and they're singing in Japanese, and there's the Filipinos who are just sitting in one little Filipino section, and they're singing in Filipino, in Tagalog. They're singing the same song, and I'm sitting in the middle. And I've got, in stereo, just two languages, one song, same. It's the most beautiful thing you will ever hear. And I think that's what Jesus is satisfied with. He looks out and He sees all who have believed on Him. And He sees all whom He has saved. And He just says, yes, that is why I died. That is why I resurrected. That is why I came. That's the hope that we have to offer this world. That's the answer that we need to give to people who are looking for answers. That is the relevance of this word. And that is my hope, that you and I are able to articulate and share and shine in this difficult time in this country. And so let's go to that. Let's let that be our springboard. Let that be our base upon which we stand. Amen. Let us pray. I want to ask the worship team just to come on up, get us ready for our last song. Would you reflect on the Word of God for you? Would you rejoice in your salvation? Would you give Jesus thanks and praise for dying and taking up your iniquities, your infirmities, your transgression, your sin? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. would you repent of your sins, turn away from your wickedness, and turn to Jesus for forgiveness and healing? Would you think of those who have sinned against you, who have offended you, and who try your patience, and would you now in your heart forgive them just as Jesus has forgiven you? Father, we come to you in humility. We come to you in hope. And we thank you for both. We thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. We glorify you today. Amen. Shall we all rise and sing our closing song together?
Jesus,
the Son of God, and all the world will see that you are God.
You are God.
Jesus, I believe in you. I would go to the end of the earth, to the end of the earth for you. Alone are the Son of God, and all the world will see that you are God.
You are.